Well, good morning. It's good to see all of you here. I'd like to ask you to turn with me to the book of Luke, the second chapter. We're going to be verses 4 through 20. And when you get there, I'd like to ask you, it's a little bit of reading, but I'd like to ask you to stand as I read from God's Word. Luke chapter 2, verses 4 through 20. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the reading of your word. And we are so thankful for this wonderful, wonderful gift given to us. Your son, Jesus, the King of kings and Lord of lords, the Word, the way, the truth, and the life, came, left the glory and the splendor of heaven, and came to this earth to be a baby, to live a life and to give his life on Calvary's cross. The greatest Christmas gift we will ever receive. Nothing can compare to this, Father. And Lord God, as I preach this message today, let every word come from you through your Holy Spirit, and God, penetrate our hearts today, and let our lives forever be changed. And we ask it all in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to get me a quick drink. I've got a frog in my throat. This weather change is getting the best of my sinuses. What a glorious event that took place that night. I want to tell you something that happened Wednesday evening that, even though it was a Christmas drama, Janine and I were coming back from St. Louis. We had to go to Lambert Airport and drop somebody off. And as we were coming back, we stopped in Mount Vernon at Central Christian Church. They were having their big Christmas drama, And I was excited to go. I'd seen the video of it, and I couldn't wait to see, because they were bringing live animals into the church. There was a live camel there that they brought into the church. And we were so, I think Janine and I were like two kids that had gotten new bikes for Christmas. We were so hyped up. And we got to the church, and when the whole drama started, there were lights, there were sounds all around us, and the choir, the orchestra, and everybody that sang that first song just ushered in this overwhelming presence of the Lord, and it filled our hearts with such a wonderful feeling, knowing, even though they were portraying the birth of Jesus, how real it was. And as the night went on, we were on our feet most of the night. I had my phone out recording some video and taking pictures. But the greatest thing was, we felt like we were at the birth of Jesus. And then at the very last, here come the goats, here come some sheep, and then here come Mary and Joseph on a donkey, and Mary's on the donkey, and then here come this big camel. And we were sitting like our seat was right here, and here's the aisle, and every one of them came right by us, right there. And I couldn't hardly go to sleep Wednesday night when we got home after experiencing this. We met the pastor and the associate pastor of the church, and we got to share with them how much we really enjoyed all that their church had done to put this drama presentation on. And as I was going over and pondering the sermon for today, I thought, the birth of Jesus is the real Christmas story. And I was reading in Scripture that the shepherds who were abiding in the field by night, all of a sudden, here comes a heavenly host of angels, and there's this great choir. So when you look back at the birth of Jesus, it wasn't like a birth that you would hear about at Carbondale Hospital. And if anybody's ever been in Carbondale Hospital when there's a birth, there's a lullaby played over the loudspeakers, and I always get a little misty-eyed, because there's another precious life has come into this world to a family. But there's rejoicing and celebration, but nothing like the night Jesus was born. I mean, in the heavens, there was this great light. There was praise thundering through the heavens. This angelic choir is singing Hosanna in the highest. They're praising God, for Jesus, his son, had been born as it was foretold. I told you a couple of weeks ago when I preached, 740-year time span from when Isaiah wrote the prophetic word till Mary found out from the angel that she would be giving birth and carrying this child, this special baby. Jesus was like no other. He was God in the flesh, the only perfect, sinless man born as a baby, the one who gave his life for us, and the celebration. And I think that our world today has become pretty complacent with Christmas. And I'm not trying to be negative in any way this morning. I'm not. But I want us to really think about, where is our heart at Christmas time? It's nice to put up a Christmas tree and decorations and stuff, but I really think that over the years, since the birth of Jesus, Christmas has gotten to, it's become distorted in our eyes, really. When you ask a lot of people what they think Christmas is, and they'll tell you, well, it's about Santa Claus. It's about the presents in the tree and singing the Christmas carols and having the goodies and family and all that. Well, yeah, that's what I call the human culture of Christmas. That's their idea. But to me, when I think of what Christmas is, the real Christmas story, it's the birth of Jesus Christ. It's a time of rejoicing and celebration. And the sad thing is, human beings only celebrate it one time a year. Here we are weeks before, people are getting ramped up and excited about the birth. And then on Christmas Day, we all get up and open up our presents. But do we really take time to thank God for the real gift? As I preached last week, the gift that wasn't under the tree. Do we really thank God for this gift? Do we take time to reflect on Jesus? Do we make Him first and foremost in our life? Jesus is not just the 25th of December every year. We should be celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ 365 days a year. Just in the same, I'll be preaching in April about Easter. We should not only focus on the resurrection of Jesus once a year. We should focus on the life, the birth, the life, the crucifixion, and the resurrection of Jesus 365 days a year. We should have Him first in our heart, first in our life. But on Christmas morning and every morning before and after, we should be thanking God for the precious gift. If it wasn't for Jesus, you and I would be in a sad, sorry situation right now. We would all be headed straight for hell. That's why the gift that was lying in a manger is so important to us. That's why the heavenly host and the angels and everybody were so, they were beyond excited. There were emotions being felt that you and I probably could not describe. I really wish that some Christmas morning when I woke up that I could step outside and see this heavenly choir just up in the sky rejoicing and singing. Man, what an awesome celebration that would be. That's one gift that I would always accept. But on Christmas night, when Jesus was first born, it was only the beginning. It was the beginning of the most beautiful love story, the most beautiful life. I mean, if you think about the love that He has for you and I, that He would leave heaven, I mean, He left His place at the right hand of God the Father. He left the most perfect, wonderful place and came to this earth. Now that's love. And I don't know of anything else that I've ever received that could compare to that. Now, the other day, my wife and I, you know, we were talking about gifts this year. And you know what we decided to do this year? We just really decided not to get any gifts for each other. Now, she went ahead and slipped up and got me a gift under the tree, so I had to go get her something this morning. But we discussed it, and we were talking about it. So tomorrow morning, when we get up Christmas morning, her and I are going to spend our time together reading the Bible. We're going to spend our time singing before the Lord and praising and rejoicing because Jesus gave His life for us. Our names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I want to tell you this morning that Jesus was born and died for your sins. I would love to reflect on the birth of Jesus through this whole sermon, but you know what I think this morning we need to hear? That if you are not saved, today is your day of salvation. Today is the day that you need to receive Christ as Lord and Savior. And I say that because Thursday night, a young man's life was, he died. I don't know if he was a Christian or not. He's been talked to, but I don't know if he ever made a decision to follow the Lord. So what I'm saying today, this gift that was given to us, He came and died so that we could receive Him today. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Don't wait, because you know what? If you die without Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have made a choice to spend an eternity in hell, forever separated from God. But Jesus said, I came that you would have life, and that you would have life abundantly. He didn't say He would give you life mediocrely. He said He would give you life abundantly. And He promised that He would be with us from the very beginning, from the time that we accepted Him as Lord and Savior. Jesus said He would always be with us, and He would never leave us, and He would never forsake us. So Jesus was with Mary and Joseph from the very beginning. They left Bethlehem because they wanted baby Jesus to be killed. Let me get down here and get caught up on myself. I got a little bit behind here. Mary and Joseph had nurtured their relationship with Jesus Christ. As a lot of you parents know, raising kids is quite an experience. Isn't it? Yeah. I guarantee you my mom and dad had their hands full with us three kids in the house, especially my sister. You know, I was the sweetest one of the bunch. You believe that, don't you? I better hit the altar, I think, after this sermon. But Mary and Joseph had, could you imagine? They're the parents of Jesus. And they were raised in the Son of God. Can you imagine the responsibility of what it was like? Could you imagine, Effie, what it would be like if you had been Jesus' mom and you and your husband had to raise Him? I mean, Jesus was left behind. At one time, He was 12 years old, and Jesus was in the temple, and he was teaching and speaking the word of His Father. And Mary and Joseph had traveled quite a distance away, and they realized Jesus wasn't with them, and they realized they had to turn around and go back to Nazareth, and they had to go get Him. I wonder, you know, if they gave Him correction for that. But I don't think so, because I believe they knew that Jesus had a job to do, and that's exactly what He was doing. He was about being at His Father's business. But the truth was given so that we would be set free. And the same is very true with our relationship with Jesus Christ today. When He came into our life and we had Him from the beginning, every day with Him sweeter than the day before. I like that old song. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. And why is that? Because I've got this new relationship. And every day, I learn more and more about God's goodness. I learn about God's grace. I learn more about God's forgiveness and His perfect love. I still don't understand how He could love me so much in the worst of my days that He still looks at me when I ask for forgiveness and He says, "My child, I forgive you." I don't understand the kind of love that would cause Jesus to be nailed to that tree and to shed His blood for my sins. But I am thankful that I have a Savior and a Lord that each day of my life He walks with me. And it's a reason to celebrate. I was telling Janine the other day, I said, you know what I would like to do for 2024? Actually, starting really today. But I said, I want to carry this into the new year and not just let it fizzle out. But I said, I would like for every day, let's find something to praise God for. Let's find something to be thankful for. I mean, we need to really stop and look at what God's done in our life. Look at how blessed you are. I want you right now, I can see all of you. And I'm thankful and blessed that I get to fellowship with every one of you this morning. But I want you all to look around at your brothers and sisters in Christ. And I want you to thank God this morning that you have them in your life. Do you know that God puts people in our life for certain reasons? That's why the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. That's why it's important to be in God's house every Sunday. That's why it's important to have a relationship that's forged in that kind of love. Because I'll tell you what, when Jesus comes into your heart and life, there's this newfound love. There's a new beginning. And we should seek every day to build our life on that love and on that salvation. We have a home in heaven waiting for us. And what are we to do here during that time? We're not to be here to gripe and complain and moan and groan and fight and bicker with one another. We are here to love one another. Yeah, I've preached this a lot. Everybody's got a different background. Everybody's got different characteristics and personalities. But our job is to love every single one as Christ loved us. That's what makes Christmas, I think, 365 days a year. I mean, I wouldn't want to put up a tree every day of the year and go through those motions. But I tell you what, I really hope this morning that you take from the word that I'm giving you that you'll keep Christmas in your heart every single day. It's very important. We were watching A Christmas Carol the other night with George C. Scott. Has anybody ever seen that with George C. Scott? There's a few hands go up. And as we were watching that movie, of course, you know, his life was changed by three spirits being visited to him or that came to visit him. Well, Christians, our lives were changed when Jesus Christ came into our heart and life. We were changed. But in that movie, he turned from his old wicked, selfish, despicable ways. And the narrator said, you know, Scrooge was better than his word. Said he became a friend to everybody. He helped Bob Cratchit take care of his son, Tiny Tim, and got him nursed back to health. There's a happy ending in that story. And in the same way for you and I, there's a happy ending. Jesus makes our life brand new, and He wants us to be the kind of people that we love others, that we take care of others, that we fellowship, that we pray for one another, that we visit the sick. It's not just the pastor's and the deacon's job to visit the sick and the lonely and the heartbroken. It's everybody's job. Every single one of us should make it a point to reach out to somebody in need. And I know we focus on a lot of different things around Christmas time, but I want us to expand our hearts and let Christmas be not just one day or one season, but I want to have us let that happen every day in our life. I mean, there's been times even through the spring and the summer, I'll be singing Christmas songs, and Janine says, what are you doing? I said, I'm singing Christmas songs. She says, well, it ain't December. I said, it doesn't have to be. I celebrate the birth of Jesus no matter what. And I love it. It makes me happy. It makes me happy. The greatest thing, let me read. I didn't put that scripture in here. Well, we'll just skip over that. I'm going to say this, then I'll close. I didn't want to keep this too long this morning. Jesus, like I said, He came and died for you and I. And this morning, John 3:16 says that basically Jesus came and died for us so that we'd have life everlasting. And I want to just put this out there this morning. If you haven't been saved, I want to extend that invitation to you this morning. That Jesus loved you so much, He gave His life. And this is a gift I want to give you on Christmas Eve. I want to give you the opportunity. I want to give you this gift that I took in my heart. I want to share it with you because it's the most wonderful gift I've ever received. It's a gift I don't want to return. It's a gift that gave me a life. It's a gift that gave me a future and a hope. It's a gift that gave me every reason to be joyful. It's a gift that causes me to love everybody around me. And even though there's a lot of heartache and stuff going on in the world right now around this Christmas season, I want you to know that this gift, He brings a love and a comfort like none other that I've ever found. So, if you have never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there's an open door of opportunity right now for you to accept Him and make Him Lord of your life, because He'll change your life. He'll make your life so much better. And I'll say this as I always say it. In the book of John, Jesus said, in John chapter 14, Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. But what does He say? Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.